Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. So as I said, the Stop and Shop strike up in New England has kind of taken all of the air, all of the oxygen out of the room. Up in the New England states, 31,000 workers on the picket line demanding better wages, hours, conditions. Look, we're gonna. I've been saying for a while we're gonna see more of this because I think people have finally had enough, fed up. There's only so much of you know what people are willing to eat, and I think we're at that point. I think we're getting there, which is why when I saw this story about the Martha's Vineyard Transit Authority workers who have been fighting for a contract for I think the number was like 10 or 12 years they've been fighting for this, only to find out that they still haven't gotten a contract, that the Transit Authority is stonewalling at every opportunity, and ATU, the Amalgamated Transit Union, has authorized a strike vote, which means they could be on the picket line. So we got to get someone to come and talk with, which is why I've asked Richard Towns to come talk with us. Richard's a driver with the Martha's Vineyard Transit Authority. Richard, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So walk me through this. How long has it been since you guys have been fighting for this?
Okay, well, we voted for the union 16 years ago, and they stonewalled and delayed negotiations for a year. And back then, the Transit Authority was very new, and they only had like 15, 20 employees. And after a year, they had another vote because they had dragged it on so long, and they managed to make promises to the employees that they never kept, and it was voted down. So we started again 4 years ago, and we voted 4 years ago to join the union, and we went to court. The National Labor Relations Board ordered them to negotiate, and they refused to negotiate. And it ended up in court, and it was in court for a little over 3 years. At the taxpayers' expense, because all the authority subs out all its work to private industry. And part of the contract was any expenses would be paid by the VTA, the Transit Authority. So the taxpayers are paying all the expenses. They paid over $70,000 worth of legal fees. We ended up down in Georgia in a federal court. And they finally said that they would negotiate. That was back in April of last year. Since then, we've negotiated maybe four times, and each time it's been for like a day and a half or 2 days, and then my boss, who lives in Florida, has to go to Europe every other month. So he can't negotiate for 6 to 8 weeks, and then we'll sit down for another 2 or 3 days, and then he goes to Europe for another 6 to 8 weeks, and then comes back, and we sit down. All this time, the taxpayers are paying for his consultants to work, and they've paid another $35,000 of taxpayers' money. So it's been well over $100,000, and we're still no closer than we were day one.
It's insane. I mean, because just from the amount of money that you've rolled out, I can't imagine that would equate to more than you could get at the bargaining table. I mean, it's always amazing to me that these companies don't just say, you know what, let's sit down, let's hammer something out that's beneficial to the both of us. And that's not just waste a bunch of money on consultants and lawyers and all kinds of stuff. It's just mind-blowing to me, Richard.
I agree 100%. And they have no intention, I don't believe, of negotiating. He's got to go to Europe for May, so we won't be negotiating again for another month or so. All this time, they're just stalling. Same game that they played before 16 years ago.
Yeah, so walk me through this, because you said that you did this 16 years ago. They made a bunch of promises, but here you are years later. How many of those promises have they broken?
They've broken all of them. They haven't kept any of them. The thing is, like, the whole reason we got into this is they have policies, procedures. They say, okay, here's the policies you have to follow. And then when they don't follow them, they just say, well, we'll run the company the way we see fit. We don't have to follow the policies.
So, we're the king of our castle. We're the kings, and we're the dictators, and you guys are just you're the peasants. Yeah. Just be grateful you have a job, Richard.
Well, they've actually said that. You know, The first day of negotiation, my boss sat at the table across from me and said, the reason I'm sitting here is because the National Labor Relations Board told me I had to be here. And that's the attitude they've had since the beginning. Okay. Our biggest concern is our advisory board, which is made up of a member from each town. There's six towns on the island.
Right.
And they are not doing their job. They're not overseeing the authority at all. They're just sitting there saying, whatever you guys, you know, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved. And we
but
have
that's
the,
your job
the
to get involved.
Exactly. That is what we're trying to tell them. We've had letters from our representatives, our congressmen, our state senator, our federal senator, all have sent letters to them saying, you got to do something. And they just refuse to do anything.
This is another reason I go back to 2008 when I had the opportunity to meet President Obama twice while he was candidate Obama. And both times, you know, I shook his hand and I looked him in the eye and said, you're going to pass something better than the Employee Free Choice Act, right? And he looked at me both times and said, yep, we're going to get that done. One of the things that the Employee Free Choice Act would have done, as weak as I thought it was, but one of the things that it would have done well is said, you know what, if you don't come up with a contract within a year, we're going to impose that first contract on you, and you're going to have to start from there. To me, that has to be, at this point, almost mandatory. And I go back to something Senator Bernie Sanders said last week, undo Taft-Hartley, return us to the original intent of the National Labor Relations Act, and give workers the power to arbitrate and get that first contract, so you're not waiting 16 years.
Yeah, exactly. And we are no closer today, I don't believe, and I'm on the negotiating team, we're no closer today than we were 16 years ago. Yeah. It's just they have no intention of negotiating. They are challenging what the National Relations... We asked for a list of employees just so that we could figure out who is eligible and who isn't eligible, who's seasonal and all.
Right.
And we are waiting still for that. And the National Labor Relations Board ordered them to give us that, and they have refused to give it to us.
So just to be clear, because it's the Trump National Labor Relations Board that is mandating this. I have to throw, and I don't know where your support lies, and I don't really care, but this is the Trump National Labor Relations Board that has made really a lot of anti-worker decisions recently. So to have them say that the company has to at least sit down and negotiate, to me, is a pretty big thing. So let me, since I brought Trump up, how much do you think of this is the Trump effect, which is, honestly, whatever you think of Trump, and I don't want to get into that as much, he is decidedly on the side of business. How much do you think is, they think, look, we got a business guy in the White House, doesn't give a rat's behind about workers.
Yeah.
How much do you think is that?
I do believe that we've seen slower movement in enforcing their own laws, their own, they issued an order to negotiate. Since Trump has got in, the process seems to be moving slower. When we file a charge against them, it seems to move slower. It doesn't seem to, get done as quickly as, it was before. But, I just find it hard to believe where Trump is anyway. I have no idea. Every day he's on something else. He used to be I don't know. He's got his own issues. But the National Labor Relations Board doesn't seem to have any teeth. They just, say, well, you guys have to do this, but they don't enforce it. They don't make them do it. So.
Right, because here's the sad reality, and this is what corporate America has figured out. As long as they sit down and engage in mental masturbation, let's say, of dotting I's and crossing T's, there's really nothing legally that can be done outside of workers doing the only thing that workers have ever been able to do, which is fold their arms and march their feet.
Right, and that's what we voted for. And the hardest thing I'm having to do is to keep the guys from just walking out every day. They just want to park the buses today and just say, that's it, we've had it. And we're trying to keep them, because we do really want to work with the general public. We want to work. There's a few of the members of the board, the advisory board, that are honestly trying to do their job.
Right.
But the people that, there's three members on the board that have been there since 1999. And they just say, just don't make waves. Let them just do whatever they want to do. We don't want to hear it.
It's time to vote those people out.
Those people, well, we have a Chilmark representative, a West Tisbury representative, and an Oak Bluffs representative that refused to even let us speak at a meeting. I was speaking at a meeting. I asked to make a comment at the end of a meeting. I started to make my comment. They said, okay, at the end of the meeting, you can make your comment. I started to make my comment. The administrator leaned over and told the chairman, who was the Oak Bluffs representative, adjourn the meeting. The Chilmark representative, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting. All in favor, aye. That was it. It was done. Right in the middle of a sentence. I had just started to talk. And they adjourned the meeting and walked out and refused to even talk to us.
Yeah, and sadly, Richard, your experience is not an isolated example. I hear these stories all across the country, and it's this kind of disrespect for working people that we get not just from employers, but from our political class who's dependent on those employers and the very wealthy. And this is, again, one of those moments that I keep talking about, that we need organizing from the working class, where we need to stand in solidarity with one another, so that when there is a strike, when there is an action, people participate regardless if they're involved in it. But here's the thing. I look at your situation, you know, as a bus driver in a place that, you know, you have really mass inequality where people need your services, you know, and you see the people every day and you have relationships with them. I'm sure it would have to be hard to walk on the picket line and know that those people aren't going to be able to get to the work, get to the store, get around and use the services that you guys provide for the community.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing now. Is we're just trying to educate the public now to make them aware that if there is an eruption or when there is an eruption, because there will have to be some eruption, that they understand it. They are 100% behind us. The nurses union, Massachusetts Nurses Union, made a video, put it on YouTube, 30,000 strong, supporting us and saying anything that they can do, that they're here for us. Right now, we have members from our bus drivers that when they're not driving, they're on the picket line with the Stop and Shop people down in Edgerton. You know, we're taking them coffee and donuts every day to try and help them out. You know, and you know, we have to all stand together. It's as simple as that. We have to stay together.
No, we have to learn the lessons of the past, where, you know, the injury to one is an injury to all, and that we're all in this together, and push back on some of the frames that keep being thrown at us. Like, you know, Richard, just be happy you got a job. Even if it's a crummy job with horrible conditions, you should just be happy.
Oh, yes. That's the attitude. And they keep telling us that. That we choose to live on Martha's Vineyard and we choose to work in two or three jobs just to get by, and we should be happy that they're employing us.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We should also be happy that we have the ability in this country to fight for better wages, hours, and conditions.
Correct.
And we have the ability to stand up against inequality and exploitation and desperation and say, no, we're not going to allow this.
Yeah. It's a civil rights issue, as far as I'm concerned. It's just, you know, this is... Just like, you know, we are not being allowed to be represented. We voted for it. They refuse to recognize what we voted for. The law says that you have to, well, we're not going to recognize it. And they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to who you put in the White House and who puts it on that board to fight for that as well. And this is why I keep telling people, everything comes back to politics. You know, as my government teacher said when I was in high school, government decides who gets what. And they're deciding that the wealthy and the powerful are getting, while folks like you and me, we're struggling.
Right. Now, that's one thing that we're stressing, is everybody has to get out and vote. You can't, you know, every election, even local elections, they have to get out and vote, because it's just getting out of hand. It's terrible.
I'm with you. Last question I've got for you. In the coming days and weeks, I'm sure, you know, this is going to escalate. Have you been doing a lot of community outreach? I mean, Martha Vineyard is a fairly wealthy community.
Yeah.
Have you received any support from those folks? And then what can we do to help moving forward?
I'll tell you, the ATU, Larry Hanley, has been fantastic. He's told us, anything you need, you just call me. You got it. And he has sent people to help us organize. He sent us people to help negotiate. He has been outstanding. The local unions, the Steamship Authority, the town unions, they're all backing us. They're, you know, everybody sees what's happening. And so it's just, I'm afraid it's going to come to a point where we just have to park the buses and, you know.
Again,
it's going to come to that.
Yeah, so. Again, something nobody wants. And this is, you know,
exactly.
I emphasize this as someone who's been on strike a couple of times in my life. Nobody wants to strike. But at some point, when you're getting the level of disrespect that you're getting from the guy who decides every couple of weeks, I'm going to Europe. You just hang on.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the day he flies to Europe is the day you go on strike.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that could be a good plan. That's something we'll take into consideration.
Make him fly his behind back here and deal with it.
Yeah.
But Richard, I appreciate the thoughts, the time. Again, I'd love to have you come back as this continues and share some thoughts and updates on what you guys are doing and where this is at, because we want to be helpful and we want to get the word out.
All right. Well, we have your contact information and we will keep you advised.
Good stuff. Appreciate
it. Thank you for your support. Thank you very much.
Anytime. Okay. Richard Towns, a driver there with the Martha's Vineyard Transit Authority. And again, this is not this isn't an individual situation. This happens all across the country. This kind of disrespect, this level of we're going to do what the law says, which means we have to show up, but nothing's ever going to get done. To me, it's just flat wrong. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Hard times are going round. Hard times are going